This is World Lutheran News Digest, an audio news magazine bringing you a look at significant events in worldwide Lutheranism. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
I'm Buzz Ulrich.
I'm Kip Allen.
Today on World Lutheran News Digest,
they've been baptized, they've been included in the school, and they have a life, they have a future, and they have great possibilities. And I would love to introduce anyone to those children.
6 months ago, a killer typhoon slammed into the Philippines. World Lutheran News Digest revisits the area hardest hit by the storm. I'm Kip Allen, and I'll have the story later in the broadcast.
And now today's Fast Track.
There is news this week from Russia's Parish of the Transfiguration in Solenogorsk, where a March 30th concert celebrated the dedication of a new Johannes electronic organ. The chief organist of the Cathedral Church of Ingria and head of the music ministry of St. Petersburg Deanery was in attendance for the installation ceremony. The audience was treated to performances by soloists from the Mikhailovsky Theater and the organist from the Parish of the Transfiguration. The concert program covered music from four centuries, allowing the listeners a chance to appreciate the multifaceted capabilities of the brand new instrument. The mission director for the Independent Lutheran Church in Germany, Roger Zieger, is set to visit the southern part of Africa from April 7th to May 7th as part of Lutheran Church mission work for the Zelk. During his time on the African continent, Zieger will visit employees of the Mission of Lutheran Churches in Botswana and South Africa. He'll also attend a ceremony to send newly commissioned missionary Jakob Kordzien to Pretoria. The Zelk mission director will also take part in talks with Bishop Dr. William Weber of the Lutheran Church of Southern Africa during his trip.
Usted está escuchando el resumen de noticias Mundo Luterano. This is World Lutheran News Digest.
Lutheranism in the Dominican Republic in the 21st century is gaining strength. The increase in numbers of Lutherans in that island nation include children. But not just what many think is the atypical child. Special needs children who were once not given opportunities to lead a normal life. Barb Belo works for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and says after the initial groundwork was laid by Lutherans who were visiting the Dominican Republic, there was the discovery of a group of children who were not having their spiritual needs met. Belo explains that the children are being supported by the LCMS Disability Outreach Ministry, and those children are now living inside a group home in Palmer, Arriba. That town has been the focus of a large effort by Lutherans in the past decade.
Palmer Arriba is the town where we also have Concordia Lutheran School, and that's a pre-K through fifth grade school. So right next to the school is where we built the group home. Thanks to LWML, who supported the building of that group home through their mites. The group home was built right next to the school, which is where the congregation worships on a weekly basis. So now these children have a home, they have a school community, they have a church community, and quite honestly, the whole town of Palmar Arriba have adopted these children and love them and include them in their lives. So it's a great thing to see what the children experienced before and what their lives are like now. And we work hard to support that group home and to support those children. We've had physical therapists come down to try to help those children overcome some of their disabilities. We've had music therapists come down to work with some of those children in terms of finding ways that music can enhance their ability in social interactions. So that's another great profession that's used in the mission field. You might not ever think about that, but physical therapists, music therapists, that's all types of professions that can help these children because they otherwise don't receive any services in the Dominican Republic. People with disabilities in the Dominican Republic do not have any services like we might be accustomed to in the United States. They're viewed as objects, not humans, and so they aren't cared for or treated like we would expect here in the United States.
So this is an opportunity for someone to help these children develop skills they would not normally have.
Yeah. These children came to the group home 3 years ago, and they were not potty trained. They were over-medicated. They were improperly medicated. They couldn't have positive social interactions with people. They didn't know how. They had never had that before in the institution. And so now, over a period of time, very, very patient caregivers and many, many people praying for these children have helped them develop. And you can see now in this last trip, you can see these kids and, oh my gosh, they're growing up. They're adolescents. And sometimes they act like normal adolescents. And that's maybe frustrating, but it's so great to see that they have personalities and they can get disobedient and they can get mad and then they can go back and say, I'm sorry, and reconcile and give hugs. It's really great because before in an institution, they just didn't have any of those opportunities. Now we have one girl, she's actually learned how to read and write. And she's taking computer classes and vocational training. And so she has all the potential of living a perfectly independent life.
This is something that Bilo says is great to see, the way the mission work is making a difference in the Dominican Republic.
Another boy in the group home, his name is Francis. The only reason he is disabled is because he's deaf. And I don't even consider him disabled, but he was in the government institution with other children who were disabled, but quite honestly, he's not. His only challenge is that he cannot hear, but thanks be to God, we have him now in the Santiago School for the Deaf, and he's learning sign language. And in time, he will grow up to be a wonderful young man, and he will have all the opportunities anyone else in the community would.
The expression on Barbilo's face as she talked of the work in the Dominican Republic was obvious of someone deeply compassionate. This work stretches beyond the children. Much of that work is being done by a missionary in the field.
Danelle Putnam has made some efforts to develop a relationship with another government institution that is outside of the city of Santo Domingo. And that institution takes care of adults with disabilities.
Barbilo says most of Danelle Putnam's work has been with children, so this is a new area of work.
But here is an opportunity to work with adults with disabilities in an institution outside of Santo Domingo. The problem with that institution is it provides no care and basically only houses these people, providing them a mattress and food, probably not proper medication, and certainly no human interaction. And Danelle has gone into that institution and begun to develop relationships with those people. There's a lot of work that needs to be done there, and those people are suffering greatly. And so we are just daily praying for Danelle as she goes into that dark, dark place and brings the gospel message.
At least two of the adult residents of that facility are physically challenged, but are receiving the good news of the gospel because of the disability outreach ministry.
They're actually very capable of communicating with Danelle. And she goes in there every week on Tuesdays and gives a Bible study to those two adults, Soledad and I believe it's Juan. And they sing the songs, they do the hand motions, they say the prayers. They just so enjoy those visits. So we're really praying that Danelle's work in that institution will continue to grow and develop, and we can make some impacts there for those people and the care that they receive.
Giving aid to the adults in the facility in Santo Domingo will take a two-pronged approach.
We do need to be able to develop relationships with the caregivers and teach the caregivers how to care for these adults who are disabled. And that's really where we can make the biggest impact. Providing services to the adults with disabilities, quite honestly, is very simple. Anyone can go there and just love them and hold their hand and make eye contact with them. That doesn't require professional skills. It just requires the love of Jesus pouring out of your heart and into these other people's lives. That can be done by anyone. And I don't speak Spanish. I've been down there 20 times, and my lack of Spanish has never inhibited me from caring for these people. So that's a really joyful way to serve and to be able to be there and help them every day. Just know the love of Christ from another person.
Those who are interested in the mission work in the Dominican Republic can help.
Well, you can go on to lcms.org and find Danelle Putnam's webpage and support her through the opportunities that are given on the webpage to support her financially so that she can continue to do her work both in Palmar Arriba at the group home and also outside of Santo Domingo with these adults that I described. Support Danelle so that her work can continue, and pray for her. Pray for her daily. Pray for specifically on Tuesdays, because that's where she goes and ministers to these people in the group home. And then talk to people. Talk to those who may speak Spanish, those who are interested in learning Spanish, or even considering serving in some capacity in the Dominican Republic, either as a short-term missionary or even maybe a pastor or teacher who would be interested in serving more long-term in the field, and contact our office to consider applying for those opportunities.
The Office of International Mission at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod can answer any questions that may arise if you have interest in this area. Meanwhile, Barb Belo says it is important to keep supporting missionary Danelle Putnam.
Write to her, encourage her, keep her in your daily prayers because she needs that. It's tough work down there for sure.
You can find out more about the Office of International Mission through the website www.lcms.org.
This is World Lutheran News Digest.
When Peter and John were before the highest Jewish council, the Sanhedrin, for healing a lame man, this was the council's reaction to them. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and realized they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and took note that these men had been with Jesus. How about you? Will others take note about where you have been? I'm Mark Hawkinson. Join me for Moments of Assurance Sunday at 9:15 a.m. on Worldwide KFUO.
Este é Notícias Luteranas pelo Mundo. This is Rural Lutheran News Digest.
The deadliest typhoon in Philippine history struck the island nation last November. Within days, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod had boots on the ground aiding the disaster victims. One of those first on the scene was Eric Lunsford, the Synod's official photographer. He recently revisited the disaster site with other Lutheran officials.
So we recently traveled back to the Philippines. It was myself, Al Dobnia, our videographer, and the Reverend Ross Johnson, who is our director of disaster response here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Eric says there are many differences from 6 months ago, when he first visited right after the storm. The only way to the site from the capital of Manila was by boat.
We travel into Manila, and the interesting thing now is we used to have to take a ferry. After flying from Manila to Cebu, we had to take a ferry to Leyte Province, that's the island there, and then you have to then drive down to Mahayag, which is a small village in Leyte Province where they have Christ Lutheran Church.
There was an airport at the town of Tacloban, but it was heavily damaged. Now Eric says the Tacloban airport is open.
Now we've seen just a couple months later they've been able to reopen the airport in Tacloban. And Tacloban is like the epicenter of where the Typhoon Haiyan hit.
However, the airport remains heavily damaged.
Here in Tacloban, it's a tiny airport. You walk inside, the walls are falling down. the roof's half there. And there is a carousel, which I can't even remember if it even worked. But there's people bringing bags manually from the planes, bringing them over, and they're just kind of setting them there. I mean, they're still suffering there, and the first way you can tell is even right at the airport.
The town of Tacloban on the island of Leyte was the epicenter of the typhoon. The storm leveled the town, but Eric says the people are rebuilding.
It was destroyed before, and it's still incredibly damaged. But there's signs of life.
For example, Eric notes that a local restaurant was doing a booming business, even in the midst of the destruction.
Amidst all this destruction still, we stop at this little restaurant. It's hopping. People, men, women, children, seniors are there. There was some nuns and habits there that were eating like chicken and rice. I mean, it was like life was going on.
But the biggest factor that impressed Eric was the attitude of the Filipino people themselves.
There's a resiliency that I love in the Filipinos. They, you know, there is a lot of happiness. You get a people, they have a sense of resiliency. They say, hey, we want to move on.
There are other indications of progress. For example, Eric noticed that there are signs of construction throughout the town.
So, you know, we're in Tacloban and we see these, you know, these people, there's this resilience, there's this, you know, building. You hear the sound of chainsaws, you hear hammers hitting, you know, roofs, tin roofs, and you see this construction happening, and you know that there is some progress here, but underneath that, there's still this struggling.
Much of the construction is part of Lutheran relief efforts. Not only are building materials and tools being supplied, but also funds to pay people who do the construction.
We also have a cash for work program where the builders are able to earn that income, but also rebuild homes for members right around them. It's a great situation. And you see, I mean, it's a hot job. I mean, it, you know, in the morning you wake up, it rains. So you're soaked. The sun comes out, you're baked. And you see these people, they're just laboring and they're sweating and they're, but there's, you see that joy in them. And that's great because you get to see the amazing progress.
People and buildings aren't the only things recovering from the destruction. The storm devastated the surrounding countryside and leveled much of the vegetation, but now there are signs of regrowth.
But now it was raining almost constantly. And we were down by the coast, right in the port, where we had, where Reverend Johnson and I had been in November, in the debris field with people buried underneath. They're dead. You can smell that death. You can taste and see that brokenness. There is rebuilding. There's vegetation now.
Much of the area's economy was based on crops such as bananas and coconuts. A typhoon destroyed those trees.
I've noticed that some of the vegetation has returned. There seems to be more banana trees that are coming back. The coconuts seem to have, you know, new fronds developing, but it's still clearly evident that a lot of agriculture has just been destroyed.
It takes up to 15 years for a coconut tree to be productive. As Eric noted, the Filipinos are a resilient people. He saw that farmers who depended on coconuts are switching to different crops until the newly planted trees reach maturity.
One of our folks that we visited in Mahayag, you know, this is away from Tacloban, several hours by car, you know, that family is now planting root vegetables. So they're adapting. They're figuring out, okay, how can we make income now? While the coconuts are snap broken, they're healing, they're mending. Here's how we can help support ourselves now.
Still, signs of the tragedy are everywhere. Eric stopped at a roadside cemetery, a reminder of the disaster's human cost.
But here in this roadside cemetery, which is set in front of a church, little bumps in the ground are people who were killed in the typhoon.
Entire families were often the cost.
You look at a cross and you might see a frame. And in that frame, there are four pictures of children. And above them, there is a hand-painted sign that lists their names and lists their birth dates and lists the day they died. And the day that they died was the exact same day, November 8th, 2013.
While the Filipino people are determined to rebuild, they're also determined to remember, as Eric witnessed at the cemetery.
What happened next was just truly incredible, but incredibly sad. People came out from this church in different places, and they were carrying candles. And they would go to the different graves and they would sit down and they would light candles and they would pray and they would sit and reflect. And there'd be little graves with little bumps in the ground. There were children that were killed.
One child's grave especially touched Eric as a father himself.
And what was really hard is that one, and there was a big picture of a little boy who looked like my son, my son Andrew. And it said, "We will miss you, Sean." And he looked just like my son Andrew. And I thought, as a father, how broken my life would be without him.
But there was also joy in the visit. One particular joy was when Eric went to worship one Sunday at a Lutheran church that was destroyed only 6 months ago. The people rebuilt, and they kept their faith alive.
Because when we were there in November, there was rainwater on the floor of the church. It had just been completely damaged. You could see the skyline, or you could see the sky from the church. There was holes in the roof. And now on this Sunday, yeah, there's still a tarp on the roof. They're working on getting the roof fixed completely. But the best part about Sunday worship, the place was packed.
Much remains to be done, but there are signs of recovery. Eric says that he saw things on this most recent trip that were hard to imagine 6 months ago.
Now people are back. And it's funny because even the animals have come back. During worship, this one dog comes into the sanctuary and sits down right on the floor. And as if taking a seat to be a part of it. And what's great is just you hear that singing. You hear that joy. You hear the children's choir that was warming up next to the church beforehand. They're there performing sounds that seem so far away in November, right after this tragic disaster. Now you see this wonderful fellowship.
The typhoon is history, but its impact is still there and will be for a long time to come. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod walks with its brothers and sisters of the Lutheran Church of the Philippines as a resilient people rebuild their lives and faith.
This is World Lutheran News Digest.
I'm Kip Allen. World Lutheran News Digest and Laughs for Lutherans would like to introduce the Looney Lutherans. They're a trio of actresses who perform their songs, dances, and skits around the country. Learn more about them at thelooneylutherans.com. World Lutheran News Digest hopes that you enjoy them as much as we do.
Well, hello there. We're the Looney Lutherans on tour with our new cookbook, Use Your Food.
A guide to healthy living inside and out.
From our kitchen to yours.
Eat like a Lutheran.
I'm Lois Jensen.
I'm Ginger Johnson.
And I'm Bella Anderson. Italian by birth, Lutheran by marriage.
We've been taking our Ford LTD on a tour across the country to talk about healthy living the Lutheran way. Using items from your very own kitchen, you can create a healthy body, a healthy mind, and a healthy heart.
Of course, even if you aren't Lutheran, our tips will work for you.
Ready, gals? A one, a two, a one, two, three.
We are the Looney Lutherans, wacky, crazy Lutherans.
We serve Jell-O on the side,
make hot dishes with pride.
We're the Looney Lutherans.
I am Ginger Johnson with an O and not an E.
I am Bella Anderson, my mom's from Italy.
I am Lois Jensen, the tallest of the three. We're musketeers.
Been friends for years.
Stand together steadfastly.
One, two, three.
We are the Looney Lutherans. Sometimes goofy Lutherans.
We like to clap on one and three.
Make our bars and drink coffee.
We are so loony.
Stir our coffee with a spoonie.
This is our little toonie.
Stole it from a cartoonie.
I love George Clooney.
Oh, we're the Looney Lutherans. Now let's start the show.
Up in
In the morning, out of bed, I stumble. That's about the time my tummy starts to rumble. I'll just have coffee and a Slim Fast shake. I gotta lose some pounds and I'm half awake. Now, Slim Fast may be low on calories, but that's not the fuel that my body needs. I'll have some fruit cocktail in a can. That's breakfast on the go for a Lutheran.
Eat like a Lutheran. Eat like a Lutheran.
That's all you gotta do.
Eat like a Lutheran. Eat like a Lutheran.
Made my husband dinner just the other night. Dished up a hot dish that tasted all right. Then he said, hey, how about dessert? Some chocolate chip ice cream, what could it hurt? I said to him, but your cholesterol. Ice cream's not a healthy choice at all. I served him orange pineapple, lime jello surprise on a bed of lettuce with mayo on the side.
Eat like a Lutheran. Eat like a Lutheran.
That's all you gotta do.
Eat like a Lutheran. Eat like a Lutheran.
Bella!
In the afternoon when he gets up from his nap, my husband says, I think I'd like a snack. He goes to the kitchen to see what he can find to satisfy his hunger till it's supper time. He reaches for a bag of potato chips. I say, try some carrots with my seven-layer dip. It's easy to do. Take it from me. When you eat like Martin Luther, you'll have energy.
Eat like a Lutheran. Eat like a Lutheran.
That's how you're gonna
do it. Eat like a Lutheran. Eat like a Lutheran.
World Lutheran News Digest is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO. You can also listen to WLN Digest on demand at KFUO.org. To correspond with World Lutheran News Digest, email news@KFUO.org.